It's a great song. Appreciate that. What a message in that song. Aren't you glad that God is good? Amen. And He is always good. And sometimes we may not understand, as the song said, what God is trying to do, but we can trust Him. We can know that no matter what we go through in life, that God knows what it is and God has a plan for it. And appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's take our Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and of course last Sunday was Mother's Day, and so we were not in 2 Timothy, and so jumping right back into 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, and just kind of remembering as Paul is writing to Timothy, and this final letter that he's writing to his son in the faith, in Timothy, trying to encourage him, knowing that there are obviously difficulties and trials and difficult things that he's going to face in life and is currently facing. And so at the beginning of chapter 2, he gives some examples of things that just kind of encouraging him about being a strong steward and being a good soldier and being a disciplined athlete and a farmer and all those different things. And then to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be in the Word of God, and studying the Word of God, and being that workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And as we come to verse number 19 here, verse number 19, we kind of touched a little bit on this at the end of the message a couple weeks ago, but I want us to, it's going to be kind of in what we're looking at this morning. But in verse number 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So remember, there were those that were bringing some false doctrines in. There were those that were trying to teach that the Lord Jesus Christ had already returned, and that they didn't need to keep following the Lord and stuff like this. And he's saying, "Hey, Timothy, let me just help you here. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one of them that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Father, I pray that you just bless in the message this morning. I pray to use it to speak to hearts. And Lord, as we open your word, we thank you for the good singing that's prepared our heart. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us now through your word and draw us closer to you. And Lord, that as we hear what you have for us this morning through your word, that we would take it to our life, that we would apply it. Lord, we would put it into practice, not just to hear it and then just go on. But Lord, may we truly listen to what you have for us this morning. May we find something that this week we can work to apply and put into practice in our life, and to help us to draw closer to you and be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, bless in our service now this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look here in this passage, I want you to notice really in verse number 21, he says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." Vessel unto honor. And so this morning, I want to preach a message on a vessel of honor, being a vessel of honor. And Paul gives an illustration here about a great house, right? In verse number 19, he said, or verse number 20, but in a great house, right? A great house. That's what we would have the idea of, this being like a mansion, right? This is like a mansion. This is an amazing house, right? I mean, this is just a one that you could only dream about, right? And he says, in the great house, in this mansion, the most important thing of any house, of any building, really, the most important thing of any building is what? What would we say the most important thing of any building is? Wow, I'm telling you, you guys are so smart. It is the foundation, right? The foundation is what's important, right? I mean, you can have really nice walls, you can have nice lights and paint and all that kind of stuff, but if you've got a bad foundation, it's not going to be good, right? I think I've probably shared this this story before about the first house that when my wife and I went to Uganda, that we started renting, and we found this house. It looked really nice, but we soon found out that the foundation of the house was not good. because we started noticing cracks in the walls, and we thought, well, maybe that's just because of the cement or whatever, but we started noticing the cracks started getting bigger, and you could actually see through the cracks from the outside into the house and everything, and we realized this was not really a great place, especially when our children started calling it the crack house. It's not a good place to be, so... foundations are important, right? We have to have a good foundation. We need a good foundation. And so, and he's saying if the foundation isn't right, the house won't be right, right? In verse number 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of this house that Paul is speaking about here stands sure. It will never waver. It's never going to crack. The walls aren't going to crack because the foundation is sure. He says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You think about this. The foundation is the word of truth. We think about Jesus Christ. We know somebody that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to be built on a foundation of truth. And that's something we can rest upon. We can rely upon that foundation being solid, that foundation being sure, a foundation that's never going to break, it's never going to crack, right? Because it is Jesus Christ, it is the word of truth. And he says, this foundation is important. But now he's reminding Timothy that the Lord knows who are His, right? Again, he's talking about the foundation of God standeth sure. And he says, hey, I want you to understand in this great house that we're talking about here, you don't have to worry about the foundation because the foundation is sure and God knows who are His. Now, can I say this morning, that's not to say that there aren't false Christians in a church, right? Just because someone claims to be a Christian and they go to church doesn't mean that they're a Christian. You can be a member of a church and still die and go to hell, right? Just because you're in a church doesn't mean you're saved. And you can convince other people in the church that you're saved. You can convince everybody else and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But the Bible says that God knows who are truly His, right? So we're not talking about the literal church building here. We're talking about God's family. God says, I know who are His, right? And by the way, if you don't belong to Him, you're not in this building. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about this building that Paul's speaking about. If you don't belong to Jesus Christ, you're not in the family of God. You're not part of this building. You don't have that foundation of truth in Jesus Christ. And that's why God says, I know who are mine. And even though there are some that are trying to teach false doctrine, I know there are some, as Paul has just said, there are some that are leading people away from truth and deceiving people, and there are some saying that Jesus Christ has already turned and taken His bride and all that kind of stuff. Paul says, hey, I want you to know something. You can rest knowing that God knows who are His. You don't ever have to worry about that. He says, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have that security, we have that knowledge of knowing that God knows who are His. But in the church, in what we would say the physical church, obviously, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian. Just because someone says that they're saved doesn't mean that they're saved. We know the Bible, Jesus even speaks about the wheat and the tares, right? There's the tares mixed in with the wheat. But God knows who are His. God knows who really have put their faith and trust in Him. God knows those who are truly His. And so those that are truly His, watch what he says. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he says, if you truly are a Christian, if you truly are saying that you're saved, then God says you need to depart from iniquity. You need to get away from sin. You need to get away from worldliness and all these different things. And here's why, and this is why this is so important, right, as he continues here. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. So as we think about being a vessel of honor, being a vessel of honor, I want you to notice a few things that Paul says to Timothy. Notice the variety of vessels. There's a variety of vessels here, right? There are gold vessels, there are silver vessels, there are wood vessels, there are earth vessels. earth vessels mean that we'd be talking about those that are made out of like clay, like pottery type, right? Clay, of course, that was very common in this culture. Most people would be using those of wood or clay, but we're talking about a great house, right? We're talking about someone that is very wealthy. We're talking about someone, we're talking about a mansion here, right? And he says, in a great house, you have those of gold and silver, but you also have those of wood and clay. So he says there's those that are going to be valuable of gold and silver, and then those that are just kind of what we would say common, right? How many of you, if you were to go to your kitchen and you were open the cupboard wherever your glasses are or wherever your cups are, you have glasses, right? And then if you have kids, you have plastic glasses or cups or whatever, right? You have plastic ones, right? And normally, I would say most of the time, if a child is going to go and get something to drink, the parents aren't saying, hey, use the glass ones. They're usually saying, you better use the plastic ones, right? Why? Plastic ones don't break when they're dropped and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I know they can, but not normally, okay? So there's a variety of vessels that he's saying is in this great house, right? So, I mean, I don't know what you picture when you think of a mansion, right? But just in your mind, picture a mansion, and in that mansion, there are these vessels of gold and silver, these vessels of wood and clay. I mean, there's all kinds of these vessels here, right? In fact, Paul uses a similar analogy when he writes to the church of Corinth. If you go back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he uses a similar analogy about when we are standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And again, the only people that are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ are Christians, only believers, right? And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now if any man, verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, well, what foundation? Well, back up in verse number 11, he talks about Jesus Christ being the only foundation, right? Jesus Christ is the only foundation. He says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so Paul here in 1 Corinthians uses this analogy of we're building on a foundation, and we're building with different materials. The materials, he lists six different materials: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, right? Now, I think we all understand that you can build a whole lot more with wood than you can gold. We get that, right? I mean, if you were to buy an ounce of gold, I think right now, the last time it's been a long time since I checked on the price of gold, but the last time, and I think it's probably maybe $1,500 an ounce. If I'm wrong, you can correct me on that. What is it? I was wrong. $2,300 an ounce. I like that even better, right? $2,300 an ounce for gold, right? An ounce, right? You're talking, you know, if you got an ounce coin or something, right? For $2,300, how many 2x4s do you think you could buy? I know they're going up in price, but I mean, come on. I guarantee you're going to get more than an ounce, right? I mean, you're going to get you could probably get a good truckload full of 2x4s with an ounce of gold, $2,300, right? So I think you're going to be able to build more with wood than you would with gold. But the problem is, he's not talking about how much, he's talking about the quality of what you're building. And that's why he says the quality is what is important here. Because we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to know the quality of what we've done for him. Because that gold and silver and precious stone, it's going to be tried by fire, just like the wood, hay, and stubble is, right? Now, if you have an ounce of gold and you put fire to it, it might melt, but it's going to stay there. But you take that same truckload that you got of 2x4s and you put fire to it, not in the truck, but you put fire to that load of 2x4s, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have ashes left. Nothing's going to be there. It's going to burn up, right? And so in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about how important it is that we are building a quality. We're building a value. What we're doing for the Lord is truly of value and importance, right? But now when you come back here to this passage here, we have to understand. He says, in the great house, right? So again, we're talking about those who know Christ, those who are saved. He says, in the great house, there are different vessels. There's gold and silver and wood and clay or earth, right? And we think about it, well, you know, the gold and silver, boy, man, that's quality right there. That's fancy stuff. That's true, right? But I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in a mansion. My parents did not raise me in a mansion. I don't know why. I think they should have, but they didn't. But even in our house, right, I remember there were certain dishes, there were certain glasses and certain plates that we were not even allowed to look at. You know, because my mom was afraid that if we looked at them, we would break them, you know? I mean, we couldn't even look at them, and there was no way she was ever going to let us touch them, right? I mean, those were for special guests, right? I live in the house, and I didn't get to use them, but some foreigner comes in, and they get to use these glasses that I didn't even get to use, right? I mean, what's up with that? There's something wrong there, right? But they were for special use, right? You know what mine was? Plastic. Now, if we were really, really careful, we got to use Corel. I mean, they're not quite as, you know, like the fancy dishes, but I mean, hey, Corel, that's a step up from plastic right there, okay? All right? But here's the thing. All of the dishes had a purpose. All of them had a purpose. And do we understand that in the great house, and this is what I think Paul is trying to explain to Timothy. Look, Timothy, in the great house, there's different types of vessels here. There's not one specific type. There's not one specific type of vessel in a great house. There's variety. There's different types of vessels in a great house. Would you do me a favor just for a second? Would you just turn around and look at the people around you? I know that's normally rude. You don't really do that, but go ahead. Do that right now. Go ahead. Turn around. Look at the people around you, right? Aren't you glad they're different than you? Aren't you glad when you turned around, you didn't see yourself. I don't know why that's doing that. When you turned around, you didn't see yourself. You saw somebody different, right? Somebody with a different hairstyle. Somebody with a different hair color. Somebody that dressed a little bit different than you did, right? I mean, aren't you glad there is variety? God says, look, I want you to understand, there's variety in the great house, right? There's variety here. Not every Christian is going to do the same work. Not every Christian is going to do the same work, but every Christian should have a desire to be used of God no matter where God places you. And here's where I think our problem comes in here a little bit, right? Everybody wants to be the gold vessel. Everybody wants to be the fancy vessel. Everybody wants to be the one that is special. You understand, in the great house, all the vessels are special. If they weren't special, you think they'd be in the great house? If they weren't special, they wouldn't be there. If they didn't belong to the master, they wouldn't be there. They're there for a purpose. And we have to understand as Christians, every single one of us, if we're saved, there is a special purpose that God has for each of us. And we have to be careful that we don't start looking at other people and saying, well, how come I'm not like them? Or how come I'm not like that person? Or how come I'm not like him? Or how come I'm not like the pastor or the pastor's wife? Or how come I'm not like that Sunday school teacher? Or how come I'm not? Wait a minute. God says, hey, in the great house, there's a variety of vessels. Boy, we can be thankful that there's a variety of vessels. There's not just one type. But notice, secondly, there's the value of the vessels. The value of the vessels. Every one of these vessels are to be used. The value of the vessel is not about the gold or silver. Now, that's what we think. We think the value has to do with what it's made out of. Is it made out of gold? Oh, man, that's valuable. Is it made out of silver? Oh, that's valuable. Do they have a position in the church? Oh, that's valuable. Are they the pastor? Oh, man, that's valuable. Do they have some type of office in the church? Or are they being a missionary? Or what? Oh, man, that's valuable. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. The value is not based upon what it is made of. What makes a vessel valuable is if it's honorable. What makes a vessel valuable is if it's usable. Paul says there are vessels in the house that are not honorable. Look what he says. He says in verse number 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What makes a vessel of value is it an honorable vessel? You see, if you have a cup, even if it's gold, if it has a crack in it and you pour water in it and it's not going to hold water, it's not really valuable, is it? It's not really going to be useful. Oh, it's gold, but it's not really useful. I mean, you'd almost rather have a cup that is made out of wood that's going to hold the water in it because it's not going to leak all over you when you try to drink it. You see, it's not about what the material is that's being used. Is the vessel honorable? There are vessels that Paul says that are in this great house that will bring honor to the master, but also dishonor. They bring dishonor not only upon themselves because they're not useful, but also upon the house as well. They bring dishonor upon the master. And no doubt Paul is thinking of those who have forsaken him, those who are teaching these wrong doctrines, teaching that Jesus has already come, those who are fighting over silly, senseless things. He's saying, hey, look, even though there are a variety of vessels, what's important is the vessel an honorable vessel? Just because you're in the house, just because you're a vessel in the house, doesn't mean you're honorable. Just because you're saved, just because you're born again and you're part of the family of God, doesn't mean the life that you're living is honoring to the Lord. You say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor. It doesn't matter if you're just somebody that sweeps the floors. It doesn't matter if you're somebody that just helps in the nursery. Those things don't. What matters is, are you an honorable vessel? Are you honorable? Because you can have a position and you can say, hey, you know, I'm a vessel of gold or silver, whatever. But you're not honorable because you got so many cracks in you, you can't hold water. You can't hold anything. You see, it's not about the material, it's about, are we a vessel of honor? So how do we become a vessel of honor? Well, I want you to think about what he says here in verse number 21. His desire, Paul is saying, is that every Christian ought to desire to be a vessel of honor. There's a variety of vessels, there's no doubt about it. There's the value of the vessels, not based upon the material, but upon whether they're honorable or not. So how can we be a vessel of honor? Notice, first of all, he says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Notice the first thing he says, we are sanctified. An honorable vessel is one that is sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart. An honorable vessel, an honorable Christian, is one who is set apart unto Jesus Christ. They're set apart unto the Master. They understand they are simply a vessel in the house, in this great house. They are simply a vessel. They are not the Master. Sometimes the problem with the vessels in the house is they start thinking that they are the Master and not a vessel. I'm the master, so I get to choose what I want to do with my life. I get to choose how I want to live my life. I get to choose what I get to be used for. No. No, you're a vessel. You're not the master. You're just a vessel in the house that is to be used by the master. And so he says, we must be sanctified. If you hold your place here and go to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we must be sanctified. He says in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, look, Christian, what I want to encourage you to do is, if you're a child of God, and he's writing to the brethren, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, as a Christian, God says, I want you to be set apart unto me. That word holy, the word sanctified, that word all means to be set apart. We are set apart unto Jesus Christ. Thank God that he saved us, and he saved us out of this world, and he saved us from the sin and all of that. But he says, now you're set apart unto me. We're set apart to Christ for Christ. We're not set apart from the world and from sin and all of that for self. We're set apart for Christ. That's what he says. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Friend, do you understand that when you accepted Jesus Christ and he places you in the great house, and we can be thankful that we're in the great house and we're built upon the foundation that can never shake and never crumble and never crack. But he says, as a vessel in the great house, I want you to be an honorable vessel. In the vessel, as a vessel in the great house, I want you to be sanctified. I want you to be set apart for me. I don't want you just living your life for self. I want you to be set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are set apart because we belong to him. We are in his house for his use. We're in his house for his use. Now imagine, God says, hey, I need a vessel for something, and I need this vessel to go over here, and I need this vessel to be used over here. And the vessel turns to God and says, no, thank you, I don't think I want to do that. Would that be an honorable vessel? Or would that be a vessel of dishonor? God says, this is what I want you to do for your life. This is the plan that I have for you, and I want you to be willing to trust me, and I want you to be willing to follow me. And the vessel turns to God and says, no, I've got my own plans. I don't want to be used that way. Is that a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? You see, his desire is that we would be vessels of honor. That means that we are to be set apart unto Christ, but also set apart from the world. We're set apart to Christ, and at the same time, we are set apart from the world. The world is supposed to be over here. I'm supposed to be over here as I draw closer to Christ. And the only way as a vessel that I can really be used by the Master is if I am willing to let him use me however he wants. But the problem is, in so many churches and in Christianity today, instead of Christians being set apart unto Christ, we are in the great house, but our desire is to be back out in the world. He saved us from sin. He saved us from the judgment of God. But yet our desire is we want to be back out in the world. We want to do what the world does. We want to do what we want to do. He says, wait a minute. No. You need to be sanctified. You need to be set apart from the world, set apart to Jesus Christ. Notice the second thing. Not only does he say we're to be sanctified, but he says we're to be useful. Notice what he says here. Meet for the master's use. Meet for the master's use. In other words, we are to be fit for the master's use. We're useful. We're to be useful. Again, isn't that why you have cups and glasses and things like that in your house? You have them there to use. They're not just to be looked at. They're to be used. And this is what that phrase, meet for the master's use. The word meet means to be useful. We're useful. We're fit for the master's use. That we have sanctified ourselves. We've set apart ourselves unto Christ for his use. That Christ is able to use us. This is why he says we must depart from iniquity back up at the end of verse number 19. If I'm not willing to depart from iniquity, how is he going to be able to use me? If I'm not willing to separate from the world and separate from sin and remove those things from my life, how is he going to be able to use me? I'm not fit for his use. You see, if we are dirty, then we aren't useful. It's amazing when you go to the kitchen and you want a drink of water, where do you go to get that cup or that glass? You go to the cabinet where the glasses are, right? Isn't it interesting? You don't go to the sink where all the dirty dishes are. You don't go to the sink where the dirty dishes are at. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. As soon as I finish my drink, I wash it and I put it back. Good for you. Good for you. Right? But in my house, I know there are times when I'll go through the kitchen and I'll see dirty dishes. The kids, maybe they've had breakfast or whatever. They put the dishes in the sink. They haven't gotten washed yet, right? If I want a drink or if I'm going to get a bowl of cereal, I'm not going to go and look in the sink where all the bowls are that have, you know, stuff on it. Be like, oh, I'm really hungry now. No, I'm going to go up into the cabinet and I'm going to get a clean bowl out and eat from a clean bowl, right? I don't go in, you know, in the kitchen sink and see, oh, I need a fork. Let me kind of pick through all the stuff here. Oh, there's a fork way down there at the bottom. Let me use that one. No. I'm going to go to the drawer where the silverware is. I'm going to get a clean fork or spoon or whatever. Isn't that amazing? We would not want to use dirty dishes, right? If we're going to use them, if we're going to cook something, if we're going to eat something, we want to use a clean vessel. Do you not think that God wants the same? God says, I want a vessel that is useful. I want a vessel that is clean. I want one that is useful. It's fit for the master's use. Could you imagine a servant as they're getting ready to prepare the food and they're getting ready to bring the food out for the master's table and all of a sudden they start bringing out dirty dishes? Can you imagine the master's look on his face when he's going to look back to the servant and say, what are you doing? What are you doing bringing all these dirty dishes? Well, we just found some in the kitchen. We didn't think you'd really care. I don't think the master's going to be like, ah, yeah, no problem. I think he's going to say, take them back and either get me some clean ones or wash those and make them clean so that I can use them. But yet we have no problem being a dirty vessel and somehow thinking that's going to be okay with God. We have no problem living our life the way we want to use it when the master's saying, hey, I want you to be fit for use. I want you to be useful. I want you to be able to be used by me. Notice, look what it says there. And it's, again, every word of God is important. Meat for the what? Master's use. Not your use. Not what you want to do. He said he's useful for what the master wants to use him for. He's useful for what the master wants to use her for. We need to be clean if we're going to be used by God. If we're going to be a vessel of honor, he says, hey, I want you to be sanctified and I want you to be useful. Let me ask you a question. Are there some things in your life that you know that are there that are not making you useful for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's some things in your life that you know that are there, and because they're there, you're not an honorable vessel. You know that they're there, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you about them and said, hey, that's not clean. I want to use you, but I can't use you as long as you keep that in your life, as long as you're dirty and as long as you've got that sin and iniquity that is there. I can't use you the way I want to use you. And what has our attitude been? I'll just do what I want to do. I'll do it the way I want to do it. Friend, if you're saved, you forgot. You are in the master's house. You're in the great house, and you're simply a vessel that God wants to use to bring glory to him. We are not the master. We're a vessel. And he says, I want you to be a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. But notice the third thing he says here, and prepared unto every good work. The word prepared there means to be ready. To be ready. Ready to be used. Let me ask you something. When is God going to use you? We don't know. We don't know when God's going to use us. So, you know what he's saying? You better be ready. You need to be ready, prepared for every good work. Prepared, ready to do the work that God has for us. And can I say this morning, there's no work that He can't use you in. There's no work that He can't use you in. If you are sanctified and you are useful, you're making sure your life is clean and your heart is right with God, then He says, hey, I want you to be prepared because I'm going to use you. And there's no work that I can't use you in. I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You understand that every Christian, God says, He has started a good work. He started something good, right? When we accepted Jesus Christ, He said, man, something good started. Man, we accepted Christ, and now we're part of the family of God. We're in the great house. We're part of the master's vessels. He said, I've got a great work planned for you. And He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, I've got a plan for you, and if you'll just trust me and you'll be that vessel of honor, He said, I've got something for you that you can't even imagine. You could never even imagine. Think about it. That He which hath begun a good work in you. He says, are you ready to be used for what God wants you to be used for? Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes we can be a little intimidated by that, right? What's He going to use me for? I mean, because we can sit and we can say, boy, man, I don't think I could be a pastor. I don't think I could be a missionary. I don't think I could get up in front of people and talk. And, you know, that's just not me. I just don't think I can do that. Well, look, remember, there's a variety of vessels. He's not asking you to be as everybody else. He's asking you to simply be you and let Him use you the way that He wants to use you. Let God, let the Master use the vessel the way that He wants to use the vessel. Now, I can say this. God can take you and make you a preacher. He can make you a missionary. He can have you teach a Sunday school class. Sometimes we're just afraid, right? We're just afraid. And we're afraid of maybe failure. We're afraid we may not have all the answers. Look, join the club. Nobody has all the answers. Everybody's going to fail. But that shouldn't stop us from letting the Lord use us and how He wants to use us. We have to be ready. And this is why He says he is going to perform that work in us. Think about 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. He says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look, He said He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. The purpose that He saved you for is not just to sit and do nothing. The purpose that He saved you for is not just to live the life that you want to live. He saved you. He placed you into this great house. He placed you on a solid foundation. He says, now, I want to use you, and I want you to be a vessel of honor. Remember, it's not about whether it's gold or silver or wood or earth or clay. No, no. It's about, are you usable? Are you usable? Are you willing to say, God, I want to be the cleanest vessel that I can be. I want to be ready. I want you to use me, God. I'm set apart for you. I don't know everything, God, but I feel like day by day I'm growing a little bit, and I can look back and I can see how I've grown in the past. And Lord, I know that I'm much more spiritually mature than I was when I got saved. And so, God, I know a little bit more about the Bible. And so, God, if you want to use me, hey, I just want to be a vessel of honor that is fit for the Master's use. I just want to be that vessel, Lord, that you can use however you want for your purpose, for your glory. This is what He says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have a desire to be a vessel of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't say, have you messed up in the past? Look, we've all messed up in the past. We've all failed. It's not what I asked. Do you have a desire to be a vessel of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ? We should. If you don't, may I ask, why not? If you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, and you have no desire to be that vessel of honor that God wants to use, my question to you is why? Because remember, if you're saved, you're in the great house. You belong to the master, and you are to be a vessel for the master's use. And until we're willing to surrender to him, to what he wants, can I tell you, it's not going to go well for us. Are you willing to be a vessel of honor? You say, Pastor, I don't think I've necessarily been a vessel of honor in the past, but if that's what God wants for me, then I'm willing to do it. How do I do that? This is what he said. You need to be sanctified, set apart unto Jesus Christ. Set apart from the world to Christ. Useful. Keep yourself clean. Make sure that you're staying right with God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay close to God. If you know there's something that is not right in your life, get it right. Get it right with God. You can do it today. Do it now. Get it right so that you are fit. You're meet for the master's use. You're ready to be used. Prepared unto every good work. And then watch and see what God does with your life. And by the way, just as you might be used in one area today, next year he might use you in a different area. It's not one area that he's only going to use you in your life forever. No, he can change. He can say, hey, today, you know what? Today I've got you as a plastic cup, and you're going to be working with kids because I need you to be plastic because they'll break you if you're not, right? I need you as a plastic cup, and I need you to be working with kids, and I need to be helping and teaching Super Church or in Sunday school or Master Club, whatever it might be. And then next year it might be, you know what? Hey, I need you to be a little bit. You're not plastic anymore, right? Maybe you've graduated to something a little bit finer because now you're working with teenagers. Still not glass because teenagers will break you too. Don't break our teachers, guys. All right. But you know what? God can change what He wants to use you for. If you're willing to be a vessel of honor and let him use you the way that he wants to use you. Our problem is we don't recognize the master. We don't recognize that we're just a vessel. We still think we're the master and we get to choose what we want to do. God says, I need vessels of honor. Paul says, Timothy, I need you to be a vessel of honor. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about what anybody else has done. No, Timothy, you make sure that you are a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, to be a vessel of honor that the Lord can come and say, hey, I need to use you, and you're ready. I need to use you, you're clean. I need to use you, I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, whatever you want, God, I'm ready. I need to change where I'm using you. That's all right, God. Wherever you want me, I'm willing to go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. You tell me, Lord, I'm your vessel. You're the master. I just want to be a vessel of honor. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder this morning, maybe there's someone. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I know Christ as my Savior. Friend, can I say that is the most important thing, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To know that there's been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if I'm saved. But I'd like to talk to somebody about how I can be saved. I'd like to talk to somebody how I can know for sure that my sins are forgiven and that Jesus is my Savior. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Just want to pray for you this morning. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. And Christian, can I ask you a very simple question this morning? Very simple. Are you a vessel of honor? Are you a vessel of honor? A vessel that is sanctified, set apart for whatever God wants, clean, useful, ready to be used by God for whatever God wants for your life? Yielded to Him? Are you a vessel of honor, or are you a vessel that is still trying to control your own life? A vessel that's trying to control how you're used and when you're used. A vessel that might be dirty, not able to be used. In the great house, there's lots of vessels. Thankful for that. But not every vessel is a vessel of honor. He says, some to honor and some to dishonor. How sad it would be to one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what He's done to save us from our sin, the blessings that He's blessed us with, and stand there and be a vessel of dishonor. Because we would not yield ourselves to Him. We would not allow Him to sanctify us. We weren't clean. We're more concerned about the world and our sin than we were of being useful for God. We weren't willing to let Him use us where He wants to use us. Christian, can I say He wants you to be a vessel of honor? And Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, as we have this time of invitation, if You've spoken to hearts, that we would be obedient to that. Not just here in this service this morning, but Lord, every day, tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, may we desire to be that vessel of honor, ready for Your use. Father, would You help us? Would You bless the invitation now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.